We're continuing our class on dating, and our next topic is Lashon Hara. And this breaks up into many aspects of dating. Let's begin with a story. Someone asked me if I want to go out with a certain girl. I checked her out, sounded like a great idea, and I agreed. And about an hour before I was supposed to go out on the date, so I feel a tap on the shoulder, and an acquaintance of mine, we were pretty friendly, comes over to me and he says, I heard they offered you to go out with so-and-so. So my jaw dropped, like, who's talking about who offered me whom, what's it his business, and how does he know? So I didn't comment. So he said, well, is it true? I said, why does it matter? So he said, well, I dated her, he tells me, and I just want to spare the girl, because if you're a very, very big tzaddik and you really don't care about looks altogether, then go out with her. But if looks matter even minutely to you, then that girl looks so bad, I just don't want her to go out with guy after guy after guy who will tell her no. So I wanted to make sure that they were fair with you and they told you this in advance. So I took a big gulp. I had already agreed to go out with her, and I forced a smile and I said, thank you. And then I spent the next hour trying to focus on my Gemara, telling myself, doesn't matter, you already agreed to go out with this girl. Right? Well, I'm walking down to the date asking myself, how big of a tzaddik am I, right? How much does it really not matter to me? And I have to say, I showed up to the date and I'm bracing myself. And this was one of the nicest looking girls I ever dated. And it blew me away because here this guy felt compelled to come and tell me in advance how bad looking. I was so shocked that it took me years to be able to judge him favorably, because I didn't marry the girl. We didn't match. We dated quite a number of dates, and we both came to the conclusion that we don't seem to match, even though it was nice dates. But I walked away wondering, like, why did he do that? And initially, I thought, must be he had it in for her. Maybe she dumped him. Maybe he was upset at her, but later on, I thought to myself, he probably did it innocently, because he probably honestly, sincerely believes that that's how she looks. So we have different vantage points on people. Fine. But that's an extreme example. Here this guy could have wrecked her future by sharing Lashon Hara about her. And he meant innocently, but our rule in Lashon Hara, rule number one when it comes to Shiduchim, is that things that are objective, we may not tell over. Things that are subjective, we may not tell over. If it's something, in my opinion, the looks are this good or that bad, in my opinion, this person's annoying, in my opinion, this person is a nag, that's my opinion. I have no right to share that with anyone else. There are things that are objective. The guy was caught stealing from the Beis Medrash Pushka in the middle of the night. And then the alarm went off and we all came in and we saw him there with his hand in the Pushka. Okay, so that's that's objective. But then there are many things which are not objective. And people are convinced that their opinion carries weight. We have to take a step back in the laws of Lashon Hara. When people ask us about friends, you pause for a second and then you think how many good things you could say about this guy. And if you have your own opinions about specific things, what right do you have to say anything negative? So that's the first rule of Lashon Hara. Second rule, I'll tell you another story. There were a few girls who I dated who wanted to get married, and I didn't think we matched. I thought they were nice girls, but I didn't think we matched. And I was surprised to see how, even though I took a lot of time to be kind to them when we broke up, one of the girls said to me openly on that date, that if I would have proposed instead of breaking up on that date, we would have been engaged. So I couldn't have been such a bad guy, right? And yet, these girls came back to haunt me, and they would say negative things about me. And it struck me, okay, why would you do that to a person? One of them, it was even after she was married. Sid really blew me away. That one, the one who told me on that date that if I would have proposed instead of broken up, we would have been engaged. That was one of the things she told me. So what's going on here? That's not fair. But you have to be prepared that people aren't always fair. So in the rules of Lashon Hara, there's a rule of Lashon Hara about ourselves. Sometimes it's tempting when you're coming to break up to tell the girl something bad about yourself. I didn't do this, by the way. I'm telling you not to do it, because sometimes guys don't want to say, I don't think we match. I think you're a fine person, but I don't think we match. They rather say, I have an issue. I have a problem. I don't want to go into it. I have a problem. We just, this won't work. Or they like to blame another fault or something, because that way, theoretically, I'm taking the blame and I'm not hurting the other party. But that's not right either. Why should a person ruin their own reputation? Why should a person fabricate something so someone will say, I don't mind. Believe me, when I was dating my wife, this came back to haunt me. I don't know how. But two of the girls I dated heard I was dating someone seriously, and they went out of their way to try and derail the shidduch. Till today, I'm thankful that I'm married. What's so bad? If you're willing to marry the guy, you can't say it's so bad, right? So, Lashon Hara, firstly, we're not supposed to speak badly about other people. Secondly, we're not supposed to speak badly about ourselves. There's no reason a person should use such a cop-out and tell a girl any negative thing about himself, and that's why they have to break up. It goes broader. I have two friends, and they're both very highly skilled. I think they both finished smicha in Dayanut. They're both ordained not only to be a rabbi of a community, but a rabbi of a city. And not only to be a rabbi of a city, but a judge of a city. They both big talmidei chachamim. And when they were younger, so they were both bachelors and they were roommates. And one of them dated a girl. And when he came back from the date, he wanted to talk to someone, so he spoke to his roommate. And he told his roommate, I'm dating this girl, but I think she's not so bright. She's nice and everything, but I don't think she's so bright. And he's deliberating back and forth with his roommate, and after a number of dates, he breaks up with the girl. Well, this fellow is happily married today with children, which is very nice. His roommate is still single. And his roommate is 37, 38. He's been dating for almost 2 decades now. And every time someone tries to set him up with that girl, he thinks back and says, she wasn't bright enough for my roommate. I don't feel like I could date her. So his image of that girl has been tarnished. And he's no dummy, but it's very hard for him. And I tried setting him up with that girl once, and his answer to me was, no. And I heard from behind the scenes that this was the reason he was telling me no. Because everything else seems like a perfect fit. Now, between you and me, he's not as bright as his roommate, so that's not even an excuse. This is being recorded, but neither one of them, well, he doesn't speak English. Another one's happily married with 2 kids, so that's okay. Bottom line, I mean, so his roommate really hurt him. His roommate came and shared with him something which theoretically was innocent, but he knew which girl his roommate was talking about. And that's why I say, when you take counsel, you want to talk to someone, don't talk to your roommate. Your roommate might end up dating that girl. So you want to talk to someone, talk to a teacher, talk to a rabbi, talk to a relative. Talk to someone external, not someone who might end up dating the same girl you just dated. That's not fair. In the realm of Lashon Hara, we could really destroy someone's reputation if we tell other people our personal reservations. You're allowed to take counsel. But don't take counsel with someone that might ultimately date that girl. And this, you'd be surprised. People will sometimes talk about a girl in the lunchroom. They'll sometimes talk about a girl in their dorm room. That's not fair. people have had their reputations ruined because someone decided to spread a bad name for the person, or to just express their personal take on this person. And it could happen to anyone. So again, under the headline, under the heading of Lashon Hara, we have to be very careful not to ruin a person's reputation among our friends, among our peers, or anyone else. And lastly, Lashon Hara comes up in the realm of checking someone out. We're still going to discuss, and that's the next topic, how you should find out about prospective shidduch. Well, when you find out, you could ruin a person's reputation. Let's take a few examples. You're offered to go out with a girl. You find out that her father works in a kashrus agency, and he travels to Argentina for a few months a year in order to oversee the slaughtering of cows in Argentina. Now, that's standard. People who work in kashrus, most of the slaughtering of animals takes place in South America. So it's standard that her father flies out to South America for a month or two and then comes home for a month or two and then goes back for a month or two. That's the job. But you decide you want to know if he's flying to get away from the family, if there are marital issues in the house. So now you call up and you call a neighbor and you say, I wanted to know if you could tell me a little bit about this family. And they say, yes. And after they've described the family, you say, and what's the parents' marriage like? And they say they seem to get along nicely. And you say, are you sure? And the person says, why? Why would you think differently? And you say, well, I don't know. I was just wondering why he's out of town for 2 months out of every four. And the neighbor says, well, that's his job, isn't it? And you go, sometimes. But sometimes it's because he's running away from the family. So now the neighbor starts thinking, huh, I never thought of it that way. You can spread rumors about a person. You talk to, there was a girl who was taking vitamins in school. Her roommate wasn't sure what she was taking. So someone called up and asked, what can you tell me about the girl? And her friend said, I don't know, but I see her popping these pills all the time. In the realm of Lashon Hara, we have to be careful in every direction. And especially in the area of Shidduchim, it's very easy to ruin a person's reputation. So, again, both when we verify about a person, and we tell over about a person, and people call us about our friends, and when we consult with people, we have to be careful not to ruin a person's reputation. Now, sometimes you'll be set up with a girl, and at the end of the date, you or both of you will realize this isn't it. And then you'll have a nosy shadchan, and the shadchan will call you up and say, well, how'd it go? And you're going to go, she's a nice girl, I thank you for setting me up with her, but I don't think we match. And the shadchan will go, well, why not? And you'll say, I thought that we didn't match. Now, this is a very important point. It is important to give feedback to a shadchan. If you give back honest feedback without saying anything derogatory about the person, the shadchan will have a better picture of who to set you up with next time. If you just say, leave me alone, you know, I don't want to talk about other people, so then you've limited the shadchan's ability to help you. Now, we don't have to give the other person a rating. What we can say is, I find the other person to be very outgoing, and I'm looking for someone more quiet. I find them to be someone who is very strong in their opinion, and I'm looking for someone who is less strong-minded in their opinion. I said this to one of my rabbim. One of my rabbim was pushing me to date his daughter, and I got to spend a car ride with her, and that was enough for me to see that there was no point in us going out. And he kept asking me if I would go out with his daughter, and I said, I really don't think we match. And he said, you never spoke to my daughter. And I said, I was in a taxi with her on the way to your mother's funeral, and I think I know that we don't match. And he said, yeah, tell me, why do you think you don't match? And I said, because I saw she's very strong-minded in her opinions, and I don't think I could last in a marriage with a person who's so strong-minded. The line went silent. After a few seconds, he said, you saw that from a taxi ride? I said, yeah. So I said, okay. He said, you're right. You know my daughter. I said, okay, fine. So giving feedback doesn't have to be derogatory. She's entitled to be strong-minded. She needs a husband that wants someone so strong-minded. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm saying it's not for me. And feedback to a shadchan is critical. But you have to be careful not to say lashon hara. Sometimes the girl will call back and say negative things about you. You're allowed to defend yourself. Not saying lashon hara does not mean that I have to be silent if the girl says, you know, he showed up an hour late. And the shadchan asks you, why did you show up an hour late? And you say, I didn't show up an hour late. There was a misunderstanding about where we were meeting. I went to the place that I wrote in the email. And let's say we agreed on Hotel X, and there are two Hotels X. Well, I thought we meant one, and she thought we meant the other. I once made up with someone to meet 6 o'clock before my class at Mechon Meir. Okay, Monday night, I start teaching at 6:45. I made up with the person to meet him on Monday at 6. 6 o'clock in the morning, I get a phone call from him. Where are you? Now, to me, when I say 6 o'clock before my class at Mechon Meir, I teach the night class at 6:45. He thought I meant 6 in the morning. So he schlepped out to Mechon Meir at 6 o'clock in the morning. That's not someone's fault. You know, that's I'm speaking one language. He's understanding another language. So you can go back and say, I made up and he stood me up and he wasn't there. Yeah, you could say that. Or you could say there was a misunderstanding. And sometimes a girl will feel uncomfortable saying there was a misunderstanding and she'll blame you. You don't have to take that sitting down. In the realm of Lashon Hara, when someone's going to tarnish your reputation, you're allowed to defend yourself. You don't have to have your reputation tarnished by the Shadchan or the like. So that's what we've covered in terms of Lashon Hara. Our next subjects are, how do you look into prospective Shidduch? So the first thing is, it's important to look into a prospective Shidduch. People prefer to overlook this. People say, if someone would look into me, I'm not sure I'd be so comfortable, so I'm not going to look into them. I don't think that's a correct approach. You want to make sure that you're dating someone responsible and that the person you're dating is not hiding very important information from you. It's legitimate, and I think it's even imperative to look into the person you're going to date before you start dating them. And here, I'll give you a few extreme examples. We had this story happen more than once, that students were dating someone online, overseas, or in Europe, and things were going really well. Then the student agreed that they'd go and date face-to-face. And the guy spent his savings. Story number one, flew out, I think, to England. I don't remember which country. I think he flew out to England. And the girl he was dating through one of these dating sites isn't there at the airport. They agreed she'd meet him there. He calls. First time she doesn't answer. Second time she says, yeah, I'm detained a little bit. And then she doesn't answer. And the hours are passing and she doesn't show up. And he tries to look up where she lives and he can't get a real address. And things are starting to look not so nice, especially because she isn't answering his calls. And things were looking very nice until he flew there. And it turns out that she's a married person. And she was developing this whole relationship online because she had really thought that she was going to leave her husband and marry him, but she never told him she was married. And so this poor guy took his savings and flew out to England, never to meet the girl face to face. Thank God, I'm saying it's adultery, I'm saying the girl's an Asia's ish, she's a married woman. But she never even explained to him what happened. The connection just went dead. She didn't answer his calls, the guy's in an airport in England, he's got no place to stay. She had said she had arranged everything for him, everything's fine, right? And all his savings are down the tubes. He was sure he was going to come out of England engaged. Now this story in different variations happened to our students numerous times. And that's indication number one of the dangers of dating through online. People can set up profiles. I could set up references that are really alternate emails of my own. There are a lot of ways to play games with the internet websites. A young lady, someone told me they want to refer their sister. So I don't like saying no, even though I don't like saying yes. So okay, I didn't say no. I said okay. And she emails me, can I refer my sister, who's in her young 40s, to you? She's looking for a shidduch, maybe one of the guys at Machon Meir match for. So okay, well, I'm going to say no. I said fine. The sister sends me a profile, and she writes, this is a profile I wrote once. So I look at the profile, and in the profile it says that she's 31. I said, that's funny. I go and I check back the sister's email, and the sister says she's in her young 40s. Then I understood. That's why she wrote in the email, I wrote once, right? So if I wasn't sharp to catch that, then later on when the guy would have found out that the resume said she was 31, and in fact she's 40-something, well, she would have said, I wrote in the email, I wrote once, right? I was supposed to figure that out, yeah? No. That's a nice way of being dishonest, but trying to cover for yourself. So, there are all kinds of games that people play. It's important to take the time and do your research. And we're going to discuss easy ways to do research about people. I strongly recommend you take the time and do it. I was once set up with a girl who, after I agreed to go out with her, she spent a long time checking me out. And I called the mother of a friend of mine, and I asked her, is this normal? Why are they checking me out so much? And she answered me, she said, we always told our girls, she said, when our girls were dating, we told them that when you have something precious, you take a lot of time to verify that what's precious is going to matched with something precious. If what you have is cheap, then you just let your daughter or son go out with anyone. So she said to me, if they're checking you out a lot, that means they believe their daughter is very worthwhile, and that's a good thing. Take it as a compliment. That's a good shidduch to go out with. I think everyone here is precious. And no one should just go out with the first girl that'll marry them. And you guys have to take the time. You're coming, you're bringing a lot to the table. I've had students who dated girls where the parents came to my house and said, I'm uncomfortable with the guy being a ger, or I'm uncomfortable with the guy being a chozer b'tshuva. And my response is, then please leave and tell your daughter to leave, because my students are excellent and I have nothing to be embarrassed about. And if you're uncomfortable with it, then I'd rather you not date our students, because our students have what to be proud about. If other people had it easy, our students overcame hardships to get where they got to. So you decide if you're uncomfortable with it. If you can come to terms with it and be happy and feel like you have an honor that this is your son-in-law, so then we have what to talk about. And if you don't, we'll leave as friends, but I will ask you not to let the shidduch go through. I've stood up for you guys. I mean, these are conversations my wife's heard numerous times at our table, and I believe in it. I think that you guys should not look down at yourselves. On the contrary, you have to recognize your strengths, and that means that when you're offered a shidduch, you shouldn't just jump and say, great, they offered me a girl, this is the moment I've been waiting for, but rather, let's take some time and find out if this is the right girl for me. So how do we check out a shidduch? Number one, you ask the shadchan, the person, well, number one is have a notebook. How do most people find out about a shidduch? A guy comes over to you and says, or you get a phone call and they tell you, I have a girl that I think might interest you. You say, great, can you tell me about her? And they tell you about her. And by the time you close the conversation, you barely remember her name. And now you're stuck. Right? Maybe you jotted down her phone number, you wrote it in your cell phone as shidduch one. Right? You hope this is that, right? But the next phone call is going to be shidduch two. That's not the way to work. Okay? You want to work responsibly, have a notepad, have a notebook. And in that notebook, when you're offered a shidduch, you tell the person who's talking to you, give me a few minutes, let me get my notebook so I could write down the information, get a pen, get a notebook, be focused, and start writing. And number one, write the date. I still have notebooks from when I was offered shidduchim. I'm sorry to tell you that I'm still setting up girls that I was set up with. There are girls that 15, 17 years ago I was set up with, and unfortunately they're still single. But I can do that chesed with them and set them up because I have a date. And I think that you guys should view it as your role not only to find a wife for yourself, but if you have information about a girl, then you can help that girl find her husband. It could be your classmate that matches for her. It could be your best friend. So write a date on the piece of paper. Another thing is, sometimes you'll get two or three offers at the same time. And you'll go out with someone else. And later on, you'll come back to that piece of paper. You want to know, is this the shidduch I was offered a day ago, a week ago, a month ago, a year ago? We all think we'll start dating and in 2 weeks we'll be engaged. But sometimes it takes longer. So it's a good idea to write a date. You want to know. You write a date. You write the name of the person who's setting you up. Because you want to know who to go back to. It sounds funny, but after a week or a month, you might forget. Who did he try to set me up with? Or who was the one who offered me that girl? I don't remember. So the next thing you write is the person who's setting you up and their telephone number. I like to ask people how late I can call them. Because it helps me gauge. After class at 10 o'clock, can I call the person? So I always write that down, but that's my own preference. Next, you write down the girl's name, her age, and how the shadchan knows her. Okay? Later on, after you've looked into her and you give a positive answer, so then you can ask the shadchan, until what time can I call her? And hopefully the shadchan, or what times can she talk? So now they've told you her name, her age, and what relationship the shadchan has with her, which is sometimes important. Sometimes you want to know if she's her best friend. They've been together for 10 years. That tells you something. If she's her teacher, that tells you something. If she's her neighbor, that tells you something. If it's her second cousin's neighbor's daughter who showed up when you were when she was visiting for an hour, that also tells you something. Right? So you want to know the relationship. How do you know the girl? And that could influence not so much your decision, because if it's a good girl, it's a good girl. But it will influence how much weight you give their description of the girl. If they've only met the girl for an hour, yet they're raving, so either you'll say, she must be very impressive if after an hour they're raving, or you'll say, well, maybe yes and maybe no. They don't really know yet. So, to my mind, that's an important question. How do you know the girl? Next, and I like doing this. You could say it's not important to you. I think it does give a perspective. I like asking, does she have siblings? And I like asking, how old are her siblings? And what are her siblings doing? To my mind, it helps to have a picture of what family she came from. Then I like asking what her schooling background is. Where'd she learn? Where'd she study? Where's she been? What's she up to? Did she do Shirut Lumi? Does she have a college degree? Well, you know, the technical details. Some shadchanim have no clue. It's not critical, but you want to know. There's a difference between dating a girl who spent the last 4 years on park benches drawing the birds and a girl who spent the last 4 years as a nurse saving lives. You could say, I like the girl who draws pictures of birds. That's fine. But you want to know who she is. It's a legitimate question. Now comes the most important part of finding out about a girl, and this is the part which you'll do with every number that you call to verify about the girl, and that is you are going to find as many ways as possible to ask the same question over and over again, and that is the question of, can you tell me about her? So here's how the conversation goes classically. You ask, can you tell me about the girl? And they say, I'm not so good at this. Well, she's a nice girl, and her friends really like her, and she was a very good student, and what else do you want to know? And you say, can you tell me about her personality? Notice you're asking the same question with different words. And they're going to say, well, she's a little bit soft-spoken, she's a little bit on the quiet side, and you know, I'm really not good at this. If you give me questions, I'll be able to give you much better details. And that's what you do not want to do. You do not want to get into that corner of asking specific questions. The more you can keep the conversation going, asking the same question, the general question, what can you tell me? What's her personality like? Can you tell me what type of person she is? Can you tell me a little bit more about her? Using different words, asking the same question over and over again, the better picture you're going to get. Because specific questions give away what you want to hear. And general questions force them to tell you real information about the girl. So you're going to keep doing this until you feel a little bit stupid doing it more. But you got to do it 3 or 4 times. Don't tell me I feel stupid the second time. You have to have enough guts to do this. And you write down. And that's a very key point. Write down whatever you're told. Write it down, jot down as you're having the conversation. I like to ask, what are her goals? Instead of asking what type of guy she's looking for, what are her goals? What are her aspirations? Some people say, I have no clue. Some people say, well, she wants to succeed in her career and build a family. Some people say she loves kids. Some people say it's very important for her to have a Torah household. Some people say it's very important for her to live in Israel. Other people say it's very important for her to live in a Hityashvut. To my mind, it gives you another angle of understanding about the young lady. And then, it's very important, every person you interview, you ask, can you tell me 2 friends who know her? Now, I personally am against talking to teachers unnecessarily. I believe that teachers don't know students that well most of the time. I've seen numerous times where students were very different from what the teacher thought. Oh, in the teacher's classroom, the student was honest and well-behaved and well-mannered and kind and everything. But when the teacher was not around, so the student was a totally different person. And that's why even when I get phone calls, when I get phone calls about any of our students, I always say, I'm about to tell you many good things about the students, this student, but I want to tell you what I say whenever I get a phone call about a student. Whenever someone calls me about a student, I always say, my perspective of the student is limited. In front of me, everyone behaves nicely. Guys don't wrestle in front of me. I've never seen a guy punch another guy in the face. Never. Never happens here, but I have no idea what happens when I'm not here, right? So I can tell you, and then I go on to all the positive things, and I say, my recommendation, you want to know who the person really is, talk to their roommate. The best person who knows what a person is really like is their roommate. And that's what I recommend you try to find out if the girl studied in a school or whatever, if she has roommates, that's a very, very good way to know about the person. So the concluding question, which is very important, is who do you know that knows the girl? Now, you're going to make a phone call. You're going to call at least 1 person, and I recommend 2 to find out about the girl. I have found that numerous times girls tried to hide very important facts about their past. Very important facts. It can be an STD. It could be a lot of other interesting things that are important. So I have found that the first 2 numbers you get from the Shadchan are usually worthless. You're only using those numbers to get another 2 numbers. And another trick I recommend when you make the phone call, do it when you have enough time to make the next 2 phone calls right away. So that they don't have a chance to call the reference and say, I just gave you a number, but make sure you don't tell the guy about. You guys are laughing. You know how many times this happened to me? I was shocked. People are very good at this. But that's where this is very important. At the very end of the conversation, the last question you ask is, you say, you've given me a lot of very important information and I really have a much better picture of the person. I really appreciate your time. Can you give me the name of 2 friends who really know this person well? I'd like to get just 1 more perspective. So why do you need 2 numbers? Well, maybe 1 person won't be available and maybe later I'll have more questions. Can you give me 2 names, 2 numbers of good friends of this person? And I also recommend when you call in the beginning, very often people will say, well, tell me what you know and I'll add. And you say, I don't really have that good a picture of the person at all. Avoid giving information. Now, when you ask questions, beware. The references are probably going to call back the girl right after they get off the phone with you and say, Shani, you won't believe it. A guy just called me to ask about you and he asked the funniest questions. And she'll quote the whole conversation, forward or backward. But she'll quote the whole conversation to the girl. Girls do this. Guys also do this. I'm not saying I recommend you do this, but think about the questions you ask. Because sometimes the girl who you're calling, the reference you're calling, will call the girl in question and tell her about the conversation. And sometimes she'll do more than that. She'll give her opinion. She'll call the girl and say, I spoke to the guy. I really don't think you should date him. Oh, I had it done to me. I once called the teacher. She just decided, based on the yeshiva I was in. Merkaz HaRav, very interesting. And who thought to set you up with my student? I was like, she was really ticked. Why would a guy from Merkaz HaRav? She obviously didn't think highly of Merkaz HaRav. Who I was irrelevant. But within 10 minutes of getting off the phone from her, the shadchan called me back. The girl called me and said she's not interested. What happened? Well, she wasn't so sure it was Merkaz HaRav. I said, what do you mean she wasn't so sure? I said it from the beginning. Yeah, but she wasn't sure her teachers would hear that you're from Merkaz HaRav. Okay, fine. You can't fight people. But whatever you ask, they're going to potentially gauge you on and pass it on to the girl or the shadchan. So there's room to think about how to do this intelligently, without cornering yourself. Yes.
When is the past relevant to the present, and when is you say, "Oh, that was the past. This is not relevant today." You understand?
I understand the question. I think the question breaks up into different realms. It would be very difficult to give one rule, but I think that number one, we have to be careful to get an accurate reading of what the past was. And number two, we have to have good reason to accept that the past is a thing of the past. You're sitting in a classroom in Mechon Meir. The assumption is that everyone sitting in this classroom once led a life very different than the life they're leading now. Right? That's a given. So we believe over here in people's ability to build new lives for themselves. That's the whole premise of Mechon Meir. That being said, there's a difference between different types of past. You'll agree with me that if a person has a history of substance abuse, you want to make sure that they're no longer taking drugs. I'm saying, you'll say, the guy did tshuva. Okay, but it's legitimate for me to be concerned. Think of your daughter. Your daughter set up with a shidduch, right? And you hear that 5 years ago the guy was on crack. You sort of would want to know that how do I know that he's no longer on crack? There's a difference between a guy who says, I wasn't keeping Shabbos and I wasn't leading an observant lifestyle, now I am, and a person who's been doing certain things which are a little bit more, I wouldn't say more, but different concerning. And that's why it's hard to say when is the past not a thing of the past. It sort of depends on what we're talking about.
My daughter is want to be a rabbanit.
Rabbi Akiva also had a history. The Jewish people are giants, come from people who had a history. Ruth the Moabite did not grow up as a Beis Yaakov girl, right? Yet she was the mother of the whole Davidic dynasty.
And Yeshua
Rachav. Married Rachav, right? So you don't have to convince me. And nonetheless, you ask me, I say a giant like Yeshua can marry a woman who was a woman of ill repute up until a few days ago. You know, let's imagine I'm the head of Mechon Orah. A woman comes to apply and she says, I was a woman of ill repute until today. Right? That's what it says. It says when she let down the spies from her house, she said, God, until today, men were climbing into my house because that was my job. And from now on, I'm doing tshuva, please accept it. Well, imagine that she's in Mechon Orah for a month, and then she says, can I have a date with Rav Yashiv? You know, with what would we say? You're amazing. I mean, your tshuva process is stunning. I'm just not sure I would set you up with Rav Yashiv. I just don't think so. But Rachav was undaunted, right? Rachav was a tremendous chazeret b'tshuva, or giyoret, and you see she made it to marry the leader of the Jewish people, who is second to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Moshe is the sun, Yeshua is the moon. and he's married to Rachav. So that's the greatest example. Thank you for bringing that up. That we definitely accept that a person can make changes in their life. You do have to do due diligence to be confident that the person has made a change.
Most people are not at that level of just one. How many of us want to marry somebody who are doing that?
I think that here the statement of Akavya ben Mahalalel is so important. When Akavya's son said, "Dad, tell your friends to take me in," his father was on his deathbed. And he said, "Tell your friends that they should accept me, even though you had major arguments with them." And he said to him, "Ma'asecha yekarevucha u'ma'asecha yerachekucha. Your actions will either bring you close to my friends or they'll distance you." I believe that this is where people's teachers can give an opinion. If teachers know a student, if the girl's teachers tell you, "She's been here, I'm telling you, she's building a different life. She's someone you can rely on." I'm not saying go blindly with her teachers, but I am saying, in general, it's good to talk to friends. Sometimes it's good to talk to teachers. Sometimes. And even when you do, I recommend taking it not with 1 grain of salt, 10 grains of salt. You still have to, as we discussed in the last class, it's your responsibility. That's why you're going to date. That's why you're going to find out. There have been times where I recommended to guys to get a psychological evaluation. In certain instances, I'm not saying you guys should always do that. The girl might say, "You get a psychological evaluation," right? But there have been instances where it made sense to get a professional appraisal that the person is going to be a productive partner and build their life. You have to think clearly how you bring such a thing up, right? A girl might be very offended if you ask for that. That takes a certain set. I'm just saying, depending on the circumstance. Going back to the example of a person who was taking crack 5 years ago, you can understand that if that person did tshuva and did rehabilitation, and now they want to build their lives, it's legitimate to have faith in them. It's also legitimate to get a professional appraisal that the person is holding there. You agree with me? I'm saying that's what I'm saying. It sort of depends on what a person's history is. And I do think that it's our responsibility to be confident before we go into it, to try and do the checks we have to. We had a student who was he was an Alcoholics Anonymous, and he once said that there wasn't anyone in his life he didn't steal from other than his mother, maybe also his grandmother. And he is such a tzaddik. He rebuilt his life to the point where if he wouldn't have said it, no one would have believed it. I mean, the person, till today, I know him for many years now. And the guy is amazing. I should get a good look at him now, because in the world to come, he's going to be like miles ahead. Right? And it's not that he's learning Torah all day. He's just leading a productive, observant life. He's not dealing in drugs anymore. He's not doing all the things he was doing before. Here you have a chozer b'tshuva, a real chozer b'tshuva. And he proved himself. And his wife went, knowing what she was going into, and they built a beautiful life together. Beautiful. I here in Machon Meir, we believe in the tshuva process. There's this balance. On the one hand, a person can do tshuva and build an amazing life. On the other hand, if you're dating a girl, you sort of have to understand. We had a guy who dated a girl that had an alcohol issue. And he said to me, "The girl said she's over it. She's done with it." And I said, "You told me that on the date she brought a six-pack." True story. Six-pack of beer.
True story, man.
Oh.
Six-pack beer.
I said, I never heard of a girl coming to a date with her own alcohol. Oh. I never heard of alcohol, you know. He said, "No, she's done with it." I said, "Doesn't sound like it." And he didn't listen to me. He charged forward. "What do you know?" "Okay, so I don't know." "Fine." I said, "Why don't you get a professional opinion? If you know there's a history, you know there's an issue, you sort of owe it to yourself to find out that there's no longer an issue." I said to him, "You know, you're going to want to have kids or not? Of course you have a mitzvah, you want to have kids. What's going to happen when she wants to drink alcohol during pregnancy? Let's assume it doesn't affect everything else in your life, which it might. But what's going to happen then? So I think that the question of when is the past the thing of the past, that's something that's a little hard to gauge, but it can be gauged. It's something which you have to analyze instance by instance, and sometimes it involves homework. I don't believe you should run away. If everything else makes sense, but there's something to verify, let's verify. Sometimes you go into it knowing there's a risk. Sometimes you go into it feeling very confident. And sometimes even if there's a risk, it's a risk that's worth taking. Those are things which, on a case-by-case basis, you have to analyze. I would recommend thinking it through with someone else. Because sometimes, not sometimes, usually, once the dating gets serious, a person is overtaken with emotion, and it's very hard for a person to see clearly. Most people, when they're very excited over someone, they have a very hard time thinking clearly, and that's very dangerous. And sometimes a person says, I know I'm going to be forgoing A and B, but that's okay, Ben. But this is too detailed to discuss in a class. It really depends on the scenario. So we are going to try to do our homework and find out about the girl. I strongly recommend having a notebook. I strongly recommend calling the references. And I strongly recommend jotting down what the shadchan said, what a reference said, and then calling another reference that was not given by the shadchan, was not given by the girl, but rather the reference gave you another name. And now you've gotten a name that didn't come directly from the girl. And then you compare. If what that girl told you matches what everyone else told you, fine, it makes sense. And that's why it's important to write down the storyline you're hearing from each person. If it doesn't match, we once had a guy was set up with a girl, and then they got engaged. And the story didn't make sense to me. So I asked him, is it okay with you if I just ask a few questions? And he said, on the contrary, her side pressured me to get engaged. I wasn't exactly ready. I thought we should take a little longer, but things looked right, so I wasn't going to make a fight over it. I said, okay. So I started doing homework, and everyone told me a story that skipped 3 years. And when I looked over the outline, I said, you know, I'm missing 3 years of her life. Like between 19 and 22, just didn't exist. Everyone told me until 19 and after 22. And they were already engaged. So it was a little sticky. So at one point, I just called the girl's mother and I said, you know, I'm sorry to bother you, but this is our student and I have to look out for him. And I'm just trying to understand what happened between age 19 and 22. And she said, oh, so you know. I went silent. So she said, look, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to say she wasn't doing drugs. I'm not going to say she wasn't in prison. I'm not going to say... And she's going, I'm just writing down. And it turns out there was a warrant for her arrest. For doing a lot of time. Not like a small story. She had a 20-year... jail sentence out against her, and I said to the guy, I'm not telling you you want to marry her, the police could show up at your door one day, you know. I mean, there is a warrant out there. Here, I can give you the information. She had changed her name, so it wasn't so easy to find the information. But when I looked at the outline of the story, I said there are 3 years that no one's talking about. So they had done a good job in ensuring that the references they gave told the story till 19 and after 22. But between 19 and 22, where there was a claim out there, she was involved in identity theft, big deals, you know. So I'm not judging what she did or didn't do. I'm coming to say, when you write down an outline, you see a picture, you can look at that outline and say, do I have a full picture? Do I understand who the person is? Maybe I should find out a little bit more. Maybe there's more to the story than they're telling me. And unfortunately, experience has taught us that sometimes there are stories that you want to know about before you get married. One of the her parents were very upset at me after they broke up the engagement. And I said, I don't understand. You guys are upset at me, but don't you think he has a right to know if his wife might disappear on him for 20 years? Let's ignore where she'll be for 20 years. Let's ignore whether her husband's comfortable with his wife being in jail. They said, no, you don't understand. We have good lawyers, and they say the case won't hold up in court, and we won't, and we're going to win. I said, fine, but you didn't tell him. You know, if he wants to take that risk, that's his prerogative. But tell him. So, coming back to our, how do you get shiduchim? And yes,
about this research that you do to the person, and you make the phone calls. You do this before you meet her. So the first time is when you do it. Is there a time frame where you, okay, meeting this person, then afterwards, I'm going to start finding out.
That's a great question.
Before.
So I just want to add a few more points and then get to that. Point number one, I forgot to mention, there's this thing on the internet, you guys probably know, knows, never heard of it, but it's called Facebook. Yeah? Can write it down. Now, on Facebook, you can actually find out a lot about people. So in today's day and age, I often, when guys tell me they're dating a girl seriously, I ask, did you see her Facebook page? And some of the guys are big tzaddikim, and they say, I don't have Facebook. And I say, that's great. I do. Let's use my account and look up the girl. I believe it's a good thing not to have Facebook. Don't get me wrong. I'm not pro-Facebook. But I do think that you should find out about the girl using that tool. Again, my recommendation is people should not be on Facebook. I visit Facebook maybe once a month, and I really, no, now I started visiting Facebook. I don't know if you guys know. I post Thursday night after we finish class. I post the topics we just learned for our alumni or our friends so they could see what we just learned, maybe tempt them to come the next Thursday. So I've been going on Facebook a little bit more often than I usually do, right? I post our shiurim. And then I try to get off real fast because it's not so much fun for me to be on there.
You can put us on the dating class.
So that's a good way to check out. Now, I strongly recommend you do your homework before going on a first date. And it's fair to ask the shadchan, how long do I have to give you an answer by? And I'll explain why. I personally, when I set up guys and girls, I am very careful to ask the guy before I ask the girl. Only after the guy tells me I'm interested do I take his information and go to the girl and say, this is the man, this is what I know about him, this is the references, here you can check him out, please give me an answer within 3 days. I'm careful to tell her, 3 days, I want an answer. But I do this because the girls get very hurt if they say yes and then the guy says no. If the guy says yes and then the girl says no, guys are more of a man, they don't take it as personally, it's not as bad to the guy. So that's why I prefer to ask the guy first. After he says yes, I say, now you wait a few days and I'll go and ask the girl. Not every shadchan does that. Some shadchanim will ask the girl first. And then after they ask the girl, they come to you. The girl said yes on the phone. They called the girl 5 minutes ago and asked her about you. They said, I met this guy, he ate at me lunch, seemed like a nice guy, ta ta ta. She said, yeah, it sounds great. I'll be happy to meet him tomorrow. The shadchan calls you up. And you don't realize that the girl already said yes 5 minutes ago. And then you just took this whole class. You got a lot of homework to do. You don't have time today. You're going to get there tomorrow. Meanwhile, she figured she'd get a call back from the shadchan 5 minutes later, right? She said yes after 5 minutes. What are you doing taking all this time? So that's why it is a good idea to ask the shadchan. By when should I give you an answer? Did you ask the girl yet? Hopefully he didn't. But if he did, you should know you're working on a very tight time constraint, and I recommend giving an answer within a day. Anyways, it's a good habit to give an answer within a day. One of the mistakes people make is when they're not interested in an offer, so they don't call the shadchan back. That's a very bad move. It's not nice. It's disrespectful. Someone took their time out to call you. You should give them a call back and give them an answer. But it's worse than that. I know for myself as a shadchan, if I tried setting up a guy, and the guy didn't call me back, what do I assume? I assume he got a better offer. He got a better offer. I'm not going to think about another offer for him because I gave him the best offer I could think of at the time. The next time I'm going to think about that guy might be a half a year to a year later. So that guy just closed all offers for me. Because from my end, I went through all the girls I had. I chose the one which I thought fit him most. And he didn't answer me. Must be he had better offers. He had better offers. Good luck. I don't have a better offer. I gave him my best offer. Right? So I'm not going to revisit his name on the list for another year. But if the guy calls me back after a day or two and says, you know, I checked out the girl and I don't think she's for me, because of A, B, and C. So then on my register, I say, okay, that girl's not for him. Now that he gave me that information, which girl is for him? And then I'm back looking for a girl for him. Whereas if he didn't call me back, from my end, he doesn't exist. In another year, I might remember him. I have other things to do with my time. So aside from it being sheer decency, someone took the time to call you, call them back, it's in your interest. Because if you're not interested in a girl, and you could explain to the shadchan why, or even if you can't explain why, nonetheless, the shadchan can continue thinking of another girl for you. So it's a good idea to call the shadchan back. It's the right way to work. Now, as far as checking out a girl, I strongly recommend you check her out before the first date and do your homework beforehand. But it's legitimate to keep checking out a girl until you're like almost engaged. The problem is that girls don't necessarily see it that way. If you're dating a girl for a month or two, and the girl feels like it's real serious, and then she suddenly hears you're calling your friends to find out about her, she might turn to you one day and say, "What's going on here?" And you'll say, "What's wrong?" And she'll say, "Do you believe me or don't you believe me?" And you'll say, "Of course I believe you." And she'll say, "Then why are you calling all these people about me?" And you're going to say, "I went to Rav Feingenthal's class, and he said until we're almost engaged, I should be checking you out." And she's going to say, "Give me his number, huh?" "You can give her my number. That's okay. I've had girls yell at me. It's fine. I'm not scared. I'm happy to explain myself to them. But be intelligent. If you're going to check out a girl after the first three dates, which I am all for it. You know, I was dating my wife. And I was the first guy she dated, and my wife was the first girl in the family to start dating. And so my mother-in-law asked me, after we were dating for about a month, she said, "Should I be checking you out more?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Until when?" I said, "Until we're engaged." She said, "Why?" I said, "Because my tradition from my teachers is that you're never done checking out the person your daughter's dating. When they get engaged, you could throw away the book. But until they get engaged, you should always check out the other party." But not everyone looks at the world that way. Some people take it very personally. If you're checking them out, why are you checking me out? So you could quote me before you check them out. I sometimes tell people, if people tell me it's getting real serious, but I don't feel like I did enough homework, so I say, "Why don't you put the cards on the table? Come to the next date, bring a bunch of names she can call to check you and your family out, and tell her, 'I went to a class, they taught us that we should check out a girl more seriously once it becomes serious.' Well, I never did that yet. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I was taught that's what I should do. Here, I'm giving you a bunch of names. You could check me out, and I'll check you out." I'm saying, so then at least you've put it on the table. She doesn't hear about it from a friend. But that's the general answer is, in the beginning, it's legitimate. If during the first 3 to 5 dates you're still doing homework, that's okay. I would recommend do the homework before you date, but I don't think she'll get offended from it. Afterwards, you have to do it intelligently. Okay. So we covered Lashon Hara. We covered checking out a girl. The next thing we have to discuss is how to get offers and what type of girl you should be looking for. And dealing with Shadchanim. Next Sunday is Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. Bezrat Hashem, we will have class, assuming I feel up to it. I hope I'll be feeling okay. My intention is to be here after the fast. I assume we'll start class later. The fast will end. You'll eat dinner. You'll break your fast. Chances are we'll start class. Figure the fast ends about 8 o'clock. And then you'll eat dinner. We might start regular time. Either 8:30, 8:45. You'll see the schedule. But my hope is that we will have class. I want to take a vote. From my end, I would learn some Igeret Rambam, Jewish history, Tanakh. We got 15 minutes left. How many people would like us to... Okay, our next topic is how to get offers. We'll start with some don'ts. Okay? I don't think it's a good idea to pick up a girl in a bar. I don't think it's a good idea to pick up a girl at a bus stop. I don't think it's a good idea to be at some wedding and look over the mechitza and then ask someone to set you up with a certain girl. Our assumption is that although external appearance is an important component in marriage and in a relationship, it's not the major component. It's an important component. The major components is a person's personality, a person's kindness, a person's midot, a person's aspirations, a person's belief systems, a person's priorities. These are the things we will discuss in our later classes when we want to see, is this the right girl? What am I checking out during the dating? Am I just checking out, do we bowl well together? Well, if I win, then we bowl well together. We get married, I'll always win. That's fine. No, bowling is not the key point. We're going to explore what we're looking for as we're dating. But if we really recognize that the components of a good relationship are all about personality, you don't know that from an external appearance. And that's why our recommendation is that we try to get offers of young ladies who we would date in a means that will hopefully get us offers which can match on a deeper level. So if you go to a Shabbos table and there's a nice young lady there, there's nothing wrong with asking the host later on if they could set you up. Hopefully you've had some conversation and there's a reason why you think it can make sense. I recommend getting offers in the following way. Number one, make sure everyone you know, that can include the guy at the local store. You know the guy here who sells stationery around the corner from Machon Meir, right here, there's a stationery store? So he, whenever I come to the store, he always remembers, I used to try to set you up. Now, we were good friends. I was buying by him for years when I was at Merkaz Harav. So when I'd come in to buy in the store, we would schmooze for a little bit as I was buying whatever I needed. We got to know one another. After we got to know one another, so every so often I'd get a phone call from him that maybe a girl came to the store and he knows her, she's been buying by him. Maybe it's a good idea. I never ended up dating any of the girls he tried to set me up with. But it doesn't matter. He tried. He tried. And I took it seriously. It's important that everyone you know tries to set you up. I've had, I don't know if it's 10, but quite a number of guys where I set them up with their wife the first conversation I spoke to them. The very first time I spoke to the person, I set him up with his wife. In the first conversation. I don't know if it's 10 people or 8 people or 12 people. It's not a small number. I'm saying it's not one or two. So sometimes people think, he doesn't know me, how is he going to set me up with my wife? Don't judge by that. Take the offer, analyze it. Does it make sense or doesn't it make sense? That's the question that should interest you. If the source of the offer is someone who doesn't know you that well, that's not relevant. What's relevant is, does the offer make sense or not? That's the only thing that interests us. You want to know if the person's reliable. I try to be honest. I've set people up and I've said, I don't know the girl well. I know the family. I know the parents. The girl called me up, and this is the description I have. You have to do the homework. I can't recommend the girl. I can tell you what I know on paper. I don't know if any of it's even true. This is what I know. I try to be honest. I can't say that that's true for most shadchanim. My experience is that often shadchanim sell you stuff which they don't really know, and they're not so clear about what they know and don't know. So that's a word to the wise. Be wary of Shadchanim's recommendations. I shouldn't lie to you. I should try to tell you, this is what I know, this is what I don't know. As far as I know, I think it makes sense. Do your homework. You find out. So I think that by telling everyone you know, and when you go for Shabbos, you tell your host, even though it's the first time you're there, if you have any ideas, I am in the parish. I am interested in getting married. And you tell every rabbi in the machon. Every rabbi means not only the Hebrew department, not only the English department, French department, Spanish department. They teach here. They might have a contact for you. It costs you nothing. It means you're Hebrew-speaking chavruta, you're English-speaking chavruta. It means everyone you know. People tend to shy away from shadchanim. I can't forget the girl who I called up and she didn't answer. And then I called her up a second time and it was call waiting. And then I figured if it's call waiting, then she's awake and she's... And then I called her a third time and she answered the phone and she said, hi, who is this? I said, it's Natano Frankenthal. She said, oh no. I said, it doesn't have to be. I was about to hang up. And today she's happily married with kids from that conversation. And she, her response when I said it was me was, oh no, it's you? I said, it doesn't have to be. We could end this conversation right now and I'll never call you again. And that was the conversation where I set her up with her husband. But you, I'm telling you, in my heart, I said, if this doesn't work, I'm not sending her up again. Why should I call her? She doesn't want to talk to me. She's doing me a favor. Why should I? People don't like shadchanim. I don't know why. Maybe because some shadchanim are don't tell the truth. Maybe because some shadchanim are nosy and pushy. But what's wrong? Hopefully a shadchan is trying to help you. Hopefully. Yes?
Do you get money for being a shadchan?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
You should get money for being a shadchan.
Sounds like good business.
Oh, yeah. So let me tell you, I have not broken even. Okay, if that helps you. And there were times where I was making more than one shidduch a month. And I haven't covered my expenses. So if you think that shadchanim make money, some do. I don't bludgeon people to pay me anything. Whoever wants to give us whatever they want, but it's wrong. It's not right. A person invests their time and energy and effort, and very often money. When I was doing shidduchim seriously, my phone bill per month was 1,000 shekel a month, and it was only for shidduchim. And that's what I'm saying to you. I haven't broken even, because think about it: 1,000 shekel a month. You make, let's say, a shidduch a month, let's say, and you don't every month, and people think they're very nice to you and they give you 500 shekel, and you didn't cover your costs. I'm giving you the numbers. So today, it's not costing me 1,000 shekel to make the phone calls. But it's very sad. If people would really give more compensation to shadchanim, then more people would want to be shadchanim. So people should, yes. People should give more. It's not appropriate that people don't. But whatever. To my mind, it's irrelevant. I mean, it's relevant in the global sense that we are hurting. There aren't enough people offering shidduchim because there isn't adequate incentive. Again, I haven't broken even. I can tell you I'm at a loss. Say that. And some people set up thousands of shidduchim and never succeed. And they work very hard. And a good shadchan, hopefully, not only accompanies you when they set up the shidduch, but they also discuss with you as you're going along. Sometimes there are misunderstandings. Sometimes you need to bridge a gap. Sometimes you have to tell a shidduch, you guys should not get married. That's also a shadchan's job. To sometimes say, based on what I'm hearing here, this is not a healthy relationship. I know I set you up, I don't recommend you continue. An honest shadchan will know how to do that too. Hopefully. Again, my experience is that there aren't that many honest shadchanim out there. There are a few that I know of, and they're very good. But then there are many who, like you said, it's good money, in theory. But yes, that's a good point. A person should pay a shadchan if a shidduch works out. I think if you're going to spend 30,000-40,000 shekel on a wedding, which is what you usually end up spending, then 10% of that isn't bad to give the person who set up the wedding. I've never gotten 3,000 shekel. Okay? And I'm telling you a number which I honestly think is a fair number. Meaning, again, people can work for months. I know many shadchanim that never make a shidduch. They work so hard. You know how many hours it is? Family time. Talking to people. Helping people. It's a lot of time. If you paid a shadchan 3,000 shekel, I'm not sure you paid the minimum wage for their time. But no one does. I'm saying if you give 1,000 shekel, that's considered you paid them nicely. In the Dati Lumi crowd. If you gave 500 shekel, that's also considered kosher. And I'm telling you that factor the number of hours that go into shadchan doing their job. Think about how long it takes. They're not getting minimum wage. They'd be better off working, bagging groceries at the Rami Levi. For money, I'm saying. If it's money, they're into it. Okay, so number one, I think it's recommended to tell everyone you know so that hopefully they'll set you up. And that includes relatives. That includes everyone you know. Number two, Take every offer seriously. Number three, if you want to work with internet, so buyer beware. There are a lot of games out there. There are a lot of lies out there. If you're going to work through the internet, I used to be dead set against it because of all the horror stories our students had. Today, I can't deny that there are definitely students who don't get offers from anywhere else. There are definitely people who don't have a better option. So I'm not going to say it's a bad idea. It's not my first choice. It's not my second choice. But it's good that that choice exists out there. What I do recommend is get references and do homework. On the internet, you have to be much more cautious. You really have to do homework. Now, we'll go into, you're filling out your shidduch profile online. I strongly recommend, before you go to a shadchan, before you fill out your shidduch profile online, sit down with someone and try to fill it out with someone. Because sometimes we shoot ourselves in the foot. People intend to be honest, and they end up writing information that really dissuades anyone positive. Why would anyone positive want to marry you? Reading that outline. I'm saying, with good intentions, people sometimes really destroy their own shidduch profile. Our question is repeatedly raised, how much does one's past have to be a part of one's present? Sit down with a rav and figure out accurately, in your scenario, which parts of your past should be shared, and which should be shared later, and which shouldn't be shared at all. For example, there was a guy who had diabetes, and every time he'd go out with a girl or he'd be set up with a girl, he'd say, make sure to tell her I have diabetes. Well, no one wanted to go out with him. Then his rav said to him, tell the girl on the third date. You're not marrying her, but you're giving her an opportunity to see every part of you, plus the diabetes. And guess what? The guy was married within a year. There was that girl that after she had the other parts of the picture, then she said, oh, you also have diabetes? Well, everything else, it's worth it. And this is a story I've seen over and over and over again. So there are components of one's past which one doesn't have to share ever. For example, I recommend you never go into details of past relationships. And a girl might ask you, really, I want to know. Just tell me. I'm just curious about... And I say the answer should always be, I'm trying not to remember. I'm only thinking of you. Don't make me relive that past. I've done so much to make that not a part of me. Don't go that route. That's something which you shouldn't ever share. Then there are things which you owe it to a girl to share later on in the relationship. And then there are things which you should say up front at the very beginning or before you date the girl the first time. And that's something which you should consult with her up, which or which. If you're going to end up looking like a liar, she's going to show up to the first date and find out, it's not a good idea. So, again, consult before you set up what you should tell, when, and how. Why don't you find out what the halacha recommends? And sometimes you don't have to go into details. You just have to say it in a general way. And the same is true for your online profile. We've had students here who didn't get a single offer from Soyu at Sinai. And then we sat together and worked out their profile together. And suddenly they started getting offers. Same guy, only presented a little differently. It matters. By the way, I recommend you reconsider what your Facebook page looks like. I think you can delete certain things from your history. Think about it. You really want to see her in that funny costume? You want her to see you in that funny costume? You really want her to see you when you were with all the guys on that night, right? Think about it. And all those comments, you want her to see all those comments? Remember, the tips I'm telling you, she's hearing them too.
So a mohawk is probably a bad idea. The mohawk.
You're called.
You look beautiful.
It's your call. Should I be searching for an FFB from birth? Well, that depends on the person. Should I be searching specifically for a girl who is from birth, who comes from an observant family? So that's where we're going to begin Bezachem next time. I think we're out of time. Is that watch fast? We have 2 more minutes, I think. Yeah,
that's right.
Okay, so we have 2 more minutes. Okay, so let's look at this overall. Number one, the advantages of having an observant girl is that she will know things that you might not know. If she comes from an observant house, so there can be many things of customs and the way a house runs. It's a tremendous asset, marrying a girl that comes from an observant home. Number two, hopefully she has a family. Hopefully she has parents, grandparents. You're giving your kids a tremendous gift. Your ability to go to that family, your ability to go to a home where you can take it easy, where you speak the same language on an emotional, spiritual sense, that's a tremendous asset. So those are the benefits of a girl. Those are a few of the benefits of dating a girl who comes from an observant family. What are the disadvantages? Sometimes a person feels like she's not going to understand me. In the tshuva process, a person has ups, a person has downs. We fluctuate. And our fluctuations are a little different than someone who grew up in an observant home. Well, can I marry someone who won't know what I'm going through? Can I connect to someone who doesn't know what I'm going through? That's a legitimate question. Can she respect me when I'm going to make stupid mistakes? Can she respect me when she makes a blessing and instead of saying amen, I say gesundheit? It can happen. Now, how is she going to look at me? So if I'm dating a girl and I see that she's respectful and we're connecting, so then for sure there are the assets of marrying someone who comes from an observant house. But you have to see if you really connect. You have to see if you don't feel challenged by her, threatened by her or her family. Is there a real connection there? So some guys, it's great for them to marry a girl from an observant home. They get the benefits and everything goes smoothly. And for some guys, it's threatening or it's a hardship in the relationship instead of an asset in the relationship. And I'm not sure there's a rule. I think there are definitely guys who one type of girl fits more for them and the guys who another type of girl fits more for them. And for most of us, it really depends on the girl. It's a question of chemistry. You can't say that every girl from an observant home would be good or bad for him. And you can't say that every girl who is Chozeret B'Tshuva would be good or bad for him. And that's why I would not make a rule. Again, there are exceptions. There are guys that it's very clear they need a girl who's going to go with them in their fluctuations. And that's part of understanding one another. And very often for a ger to marry a giyoret is tremendous understanding. But sometimes a ger wants a family. A ger wants someone who won't have the questions he has about what do I have to prepare for Pesach? Wait a second, I know I need matzahs, and I know we need 4 cups of wine, and I know we got to clean the house. Oh, there was mar. Okay, I forgot mar. Now what about charoses? For ger and a chozer b'tshuva, you're building everything from scratch. When a girl grew up in a home where she really knows, she doesn't have to think about it. Preparing a ner neshama, preparing a candle that will last 24 hours before Yom Tov is something that was part of how she saw Yom Tov celebrated. That on Yom Kippur you have a ner neshama, etc. So there are things which you didn't necessarily learn here, and they're very hard to grasp. And when you marry a girl who comes from an observant home, so then they come in as a natural part of the home. And there are many things like that, like the tunes, and there are many things like that. So there are definitely advantages to it. That doesn't mean it's right for you. The disadvantages can definitely outweigh the advantages. Don't be blinded. We're still going to discuss blind spots in the relationship. Everyone has blind spots, and we're going to discuss those. Okay, what did we discuss today? Let's summarize and wish everyone a good night. What did we discuss today? We began with a discussion of Lashon Hara, the importance of being careful not to destroy a girl's reputation with other people, with the Shadchan, the importance of not destroying our own reputation. We went on to discuss the importance of checking out a girl having a notebook. And when I check her out, I begin by writing a date on the piece of paper, how the Shadchan knows her, what the Shadchan's number, how late I can call them, how old is the girl, what her family's doing, and then I ask general questions to try and find out a general picture without going into detail so that I get a real general picture. I ask for 2 references, phone numbers, and then I call them and ask them for 2 references, numbers at the end of the conversation, and I'm quick to follow up with those references. If I want to get offers, then I tell everyone I know that I'm interested in offers, and that way hopefully I'll get offers. We discussed the risks of dating online and the importance of doing homework before we start dating. We discussed that when you do homework on a girl, it's best to do it before you actually date her, but it's legitimate if you do it during the beginning of the dating process. Later on, it's also legitimate, just preclude any misunderstandings. And we ended with a discussion of the idea of the advantages of from birth, a girl who comes from an observant home, and the advantages of a girl who has a shared background with you. With regards to Shadchanim, we said it's important to call back and to give feedback without ruining the reputation of the girl, but objective feedback that is not negative, that just explains why this wasn't for me, is important to help the Shadchan figure out who to offer you in the future.